Well, let's just pray, shall we? Ask God's help. A very lovely passage. Bless you, Lord, it's your word, and we thank you for it. Pray, Lord, your spirit will enlighten our hearts to understand the deep truths it conveys, Lord, that we may be blessed and be a blessing. Help us, Lord, we pray now, in Jesus' name. So, this passage from Ephesians chapter 2, it's just the first 10 verses, but I've read in some commentary, and it's a fact, I checked it up with the Greek, those 10 verses are one sentence in Greek. It's chopped up in our English version into shorter bits. This Paul, he gets carried away, you see, that's what it is. So here we have one sentence, all of that, it's chopped up in English for us, anyway. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God had prepared in advance for us to do. So there we are, 10 verses. And we begin with, as for you, that's talking to them, but he's also talking to us, of course. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. So before we became Christians, we were in a state of spiritual death. That's the way it was. We were born into this world, and the cause of death was our transgressions and sins, but it became that way because of Adam. We were born through Adam, you know. He's your great-great-great-great-grandfather, back a few times. And we inherited from him a fallen nature. So we carried the sin package right from birth. And so that begins to manifest itself in our lives in transgressions. A transgression means you go over the limit. People won't take no for an answer, they've got to go over the limit. That's one side of it. And then sins are missing the mark, falling short. You know, like the arrow shooting, you miss it. So, one way or another, you either overdo it or you underdo it, you're a sinner. And both of these effects are lethal. We were dead in our transgressions and sins. Not a very good state. It says, in which you used to live. I've got a zombie there for you. Because that's what we were, spiritual zombies. Yeah. Alive and yet not. We were living a dead life. Our former Christian, he says, that's how he used to live. Isn't that wonderful? There can't be a past tense to that.
Yeah.
We used to be like that, but we aren't anymore. But we were marked by our fallen lifestyle, in the way we used to live as dead people. Strange phrasing, isn't it? The present world is this way, the ways of this world are the ways that exclude God and keep him out. Don't call me God, I'll call you. And he won't be calling him very time soon either. And the ways of the world are the way it normally operates. Although, I put the word normal there, but the world isn't normal according to the Bible. It's abnormal. It's not what it should be, but we consider it the normal way of the world. That's how it is. You used to live like that. That's what you were like. And we were under the control of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So we followed the world's tracks and were controlled. I've got a controller there for you. That's what that is. Never used them, but the kids play with them, don't they? It controls the screen. Well, there's someone controlling your screen. Or used to, anyway. The devil and his workers. Controlled under the influence of Satan. It's described as the spirit who rules in his kingdom. in the kingdom of the air. So he's in our atmosphere, he's around. It can't be everywhere at once. That's one thing you need to remember. The devil is not like the Lord. He's not omnipresent, but he's got a lot of mates that work for him. So he can cause a lot of aggravation worldwide anyway. But he's localized. A spiritual rules in his kingdom. So he's got an organization, you could call it. And he is active now. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So he's working via his agents, the demons, and the sinful mindset of people. The devil can use that as well.
So and where is he?
Where is he? I have no idea where he is at the moment. He's somewhere around, though.
On the earth, or?
On the earth, I would assume. Yes, messing something up.
Is that the devil you're about?
Yes. Yes.
Didn't he say, Job, that can we the devil beat it to and fro?
Walking up and down the earth, yeah.
So
roaming around.
Yeah.
Looking for
somewhere in Job, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Anyway, he's active now, we know that, you only need to look at the news to know that. He's active now by his agents and the sinful mindset, and he's at work in those who are disobedient. He describes them as disobedient. Disobedient to what? To God, to God's laws, to God's will, to his purposes. So there's a whole big old world out there under the control of this mastermind. He's not stupid in that sense. He's a very wily so-and-so. And all of us also lived among them at one time. Paul's keen to make that point. That's what we were once. We were amongst that group. Maybe some of you escaped earlier on when you were younger. Some of us when we were older. But that's where we used to live. That's what we were in. Even believers, as a result of this, have no grounds for feeling superior. We're out of the same mess. That's what it is. We're all the same, and for some time, or long or short, that's where we were. Thank God we got out of the trough, but that's what we were in the same dreadful and dangerous state, I put it. Yes. I thought that picture was appropriate. I looked for crowds, and there were all sorts of coloured ones, but I thought a dark one was more appropriate. That's what we were in the dark. Yes. Right, this is the lifestyle of the world, what we used to be like. Gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Our sinful nature is very powerful, and it's got cravings. You know what a craving is?
Mm.
It means it won't stop until it gets what it wants.
Yeah.
That's the craving of the sinful nature. It's the dominant features of our sinful past life. The cravings of the sinful nature following its desires and thoughts. So it's self-gratification. I want, and I want, and I won't stop until I get. That's one of the things. Wanting all the things the sinful nature wants. And it operates in our desires and our thoughts. Messes your mind up. Messes your heart up. And that's the way the world operates in us, as we used to live. And it's out of control. So we're slaves, ultimately, to Satan. Paul says that. If you're a slave to what masters you, what drives you. Well, if the sinful nature is driving you as it used to, you were a slave to that. So that's what we were like. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Terrifying verses, you think about it. Our natural state was identical to all sinful men. We were just in the same boat. Right? We might have looked nice on the outside, might have done all right for ourselves or whatever, but we were, like the rest of them, objects of wrath by nature. So what does that mean, objects of wrath? Fully deserving what God has got in store for those that disobey. His judgment, his anger. God is love, and his love says he cannot tolerate what's wrong. I'm pleased about that, ultimately, because I'm on the right side now. But, you know, the fact that God hates what's wrong is part of his love. And so we fully deserved to be judged. That's the fact. Right? And there's a letter in Hebrews, a letter to the Hebrews, a verse in there, where he says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Yeah.
Don't let him get hold of you like that. You're in trouble. Of course you are. Can you remember before you became a Christian, you tried to do deals with God or anything like that? No?
I think.
I'll say my prayers, Lord, if you do this. Yeah. As if we're doing him a favour, you know. Well, I used to be like that.
Help me, Lord.
Terrible, isn't it? But thank God he didn't leave us like that. He would have been perfectly just to have destroyed us there and then. And that's the present danger that each unsaved man and woman are in. That's why it's important we share the gospel some way or another. It's not easy, I know. When there's deaf people who don't want to hear, it's hard. But, you know, they are in mortal danger. That's the point. So it's out of love in that sense that we ought to be able to share somehow the good news of Jesus, the only way out of the danger. But like the rest, that's what we were at one time. Shush! We were in death's cell, weren't we? But because of his great love for us, well, it doesn't say that in the Greek. It says, but God, because of his great love for us. He puts the but and God together. God's mercy is driven by his love, isn't it? Because of his great love, it makes a profound difference to our prospects. And when the scripture says, but God, look out for something different. That's the way it works. When there's a situation and he put but God on it, you know things have got to change. And so a tremendous change was possible for us as well. God, but God, who is rich in mercy. There you are. I couldn't think of a picture for mercy, so I thought of the treasure chest. That's, he's rich in it. It's one of God's attributes. He's merciful. When Moses asked to see God, when God went by, he talked about himself as God the merciful. That's one of his attributes. And what is mercy? It's his kindness to those who don't deserve it, the guilty and the undeserving. And he says he's rich in mercy. That's really rich. That if God says he's rich, it must be an awful lot. You can't wear out his mercy, it would seem. So rich. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. So he made us live. That's the wonderful thing. He put some spiritual life into us. We were born again. That's the way it works. Right? And he says he made us alive with Christ. We were joined to Jesus, and the life of Jesus becomes the life in us. We're made to live in union with Jesus the Messiah. So we're joined to the life giver and raised from our spiritual death while we were in that totally helpless state. Why did he do it? In order to show his mercy. God made us alive in order to show us his mercy and to help us to get to know him. God wants a relationship with us, that's the point. And so God made us alive with Jesus. How alive do you feel today? You're doing all right so far. Good. Right. It's the spiritual life we're talking about. I'm not talking about the wonky bodies. Yeah. Okay. Wonderful statement. It is by grace you have been saved. One of the greatest truths in very few words. It's grace. God's unmerited favour. You don't deserve it, but he gives it to you in wonderful amounts. Unmerited favour to deliver us from death and the consequences of our sinful rebellion. You have been saved. Isn't that right? Notice it's past tense there. You have been saved. So it started. Of course it goes on, and there's the ultimate future of being saved in the future from a fallen body, of course. So we're saved now by the grace of God. And it's happened for the believer, even though there is more to come of its outworkings. You were saved then, but were you a fully grown Christian then? No. There's room for improvement, is there not? In that sense, it's called sanctification. God is working in what he's put on you. That's the way it works. And then ultimately, when you're completely polished up, you'll be glorified, won't you? So that's what saved's all about. It's a big process, but it's begun for us now. We have been saved by the grace, unmerited favour of God. God deserves a big thank you, I would say, for that. And God raises up with Christ. Now this is the wonderful thing. It's always through Jesus, and it's always connected with Jesus. Just as Jesus rose from the dead, so we too have been brought to spiritual life through our union with him. We're joined to Jesus, and that life brings resurrection into us. in principle, that took place 2,000 years ago, wasn't it? We were raised with Christ when Jesus rose from the dead. But you and I weren't born then. But in principle, that's when it happened. Right? So God had got you in the plan before you were born, of course. And then it applies to you when you come to believe in Him. The life enters that He's promised. Right at the beginning, through raising Jesus from the dead. So God raised us up with Christ. Hallelujah. That's a resurrection for you. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Now, what did happen to Jesus was He was raised from the dead, He rose, and then He ascended into heaven and took the place of authority at the right hand of the Father. So Jesus is seated in the heavenly realms. But if you're joined to Jesus, where are you?
Heavenly realms.
There as well. That's the point He's making. Our spiritual life is connected to Jesus, and so in reality, the real you is there. But of course, the real you is here as well. We live in two worlds. Did you know that? Don't we? Our life is hid with Christ in God, we don't. That's where our real life is. But we're living it out down here. Of course, one of the nice things is Jesus can be everywhere by His Spirit. So He can be with you where you are now, of course. But we exist in two realms. We're down here and in heaven. But we belong to heaven. That's our real home, of course. So He seated us with Him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. What's the view like?
Wonderful.
Yes. Yes. And why did He do it? This is an explanation. In order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace. So in the coming ages, when's that?
Future.
In the future, and ultimately beyond this world into the next age, of course. And He's doing it to display His riches of His grace. He's going to show His glory. God gets the glory. Praise the Lord. Let's put it this way, it's called the incomparable riches of His grace. There is nothing that can be compared to His amazing grace. Yeah, what's like it? There's nothing else like it. His amazing grace. And it's to show His great glory. And we'll be showing His, you know, you'll be showing His glory. Because you'll be saying, how on earth did I get here where I came from? You know? And you think about what God's brought us out of to get us to glory, He gets in the praise, doesn't He?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the angels will look at us and say, how did you get here? Jesus, thank you very much, Lord. That's all, yeah. I've called it the eternal wow factor. God's grace on display. That's part of it. We are part of it. And His grace is expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So that's how it comes to us. It's grace that blesses us and shows us that Jesus Christ is the one through whom we receive it. So the glory goes to Jesus too, in the fact that He's been the one that's brought it to pass. So expressed in His kindness to us. Jesus is the expression of God's kindness to us. Hallelujah. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Wonderful. Few verses these, we're looking at these end verses of chapter 1. The simple key is faith that gives us access to all these blessings. Salvation is by faith. And faith demonstrates that it's grace because there's nothing more you can do apart from believing, isn't it? You know, it doesn't require great brains or great skill, anything else. Simply to trust the Lord is all is required. That's the key that opens all the blessings. The key of God's grace through faith. So nothing else required, you've got to trust Him. And what kind of faith is it? Is it just intellectual? No, it's a heart trust. You're actually putting your life in His hands, trusting Him. That's the faith we're talking about. Right? And He says, and this not from yourselves. Salvation by faith is not from yourselves. In other words, you couldn't do it. Even faith is a work of God, God's grace in us. Since it's not part of our fallen nature to trust God, if you think about it. Yes? An unbeliever doesn't want to trust God. So he won't be doing it. But you came to trust Him. How did that happen? God worked in you in order to help you to believe. Now the interesting thing is, this is a mystery in a sense. It's really saying faith is a gift from God. Yes. But you and I know God won't believe for you and he won't repent for you. You have to do it. Mm-hmm. It's your action in repenting and believing that brings you into union with Jesus, but you can't do it because you're dead. So God makes us alive, enables us to do that, so that we trust in him, we believe in him, that faith opens us up to all the blessings. So there you are, mystery. God does it, but you have to as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we worked hard.
So, but he's making the point here, we were dead, we were under judgment, objects of wrath, but God in his mercy brings us to life. We are utterly dependent on God for our salvation. Don't think, and he makes this point very clear, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I'm so glad about that, yes, because the fallen nature wants to boast, you know, always likes to have its own little contribution. So, the gift of salvation by faith excludes any contribution that we might imagine we can bring. And I use the word imagine very advisedly, because you can't bring anything. No efforts on our part can achieve salvation. And people are trying that all the time. That's what all the other religions are, really. Efforts to reach God. You know, man's little effort to somehow get to communion with God. But the gospel is, God knows you can't do it, so he came down to us. Different approach altogether. So, we have no grounds for self-congratulation or thinking ourselves better than others. Yeah. You are where you are by the grace of God, not by being smart or anything else. You've got gifts to use them, of course, but just remember it's all from God's grace. So, and I think this is one of the reasons the way God's done it is because it's through faith, by grace, and therefore we don't have any contribution to make, so God gets all the glory. And the wonderful thing is that he's done that so that he gets the praise of saving you and me. And I'm glad to praise him for it as well. And the lovely thing is, if it's by grace and it's a gift, it's available for all who are willing to ask for it, isn't it? It's independent of your position, your status, background, anything else. You know, it's available for all. I remember reading by Spurgeon on that John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, he said, whosoever is a very wide word. A narrower word might have kept me out, but that whosoever can include you and me, of course. Yeah, so it's available because it's a gift of God's grace. And gifts come free. Did you know that? Well, they do with the Lord. Let's put it that way. I love this verse. It's the last verse of chapter 1. Not the last verse of chapter 1, the last verse of our passage. Verse 10, I believe it is. For we are God's workmanship. Right, so this word has been rendered in some translations as God's masterpiece. That's this, I've got a quote there in that potter. We are God's masterpiece. And the word in the Greek is, it's a poem. So that's what it's of. The word that comes to mean poem, eventually. Yeah. God's workmanship. He's done something with you. He's made you. We are God's workmanship. So we demonstrate the perfection of God's work in his saving and restoring broken people. We become part of his new creation. He takes you as a lump of mud and he makes you into a lovely vessel. Isn't that fantastic?
That is.
Yeah. We're workmanship. God's been doing something in your life and mine. Praise his name. And Lord, keep it up. There's more to go. Yes. For we are God's workmanship. And this is created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now, what's the mold that God forms you into is Jesus. That's the created in Christ Jesus. That's the shape he wants to make you into. We're formed in union with the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises he's made, and he wants to make us into a shape that's like Jesus, and the purpose is to produce us a living people who are full of good works. That's what he says, we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's, your lives are changed, you want to live for the Lord now, you want to please him and serve him. Now that's really interesting, that verse is amazing, I think, because it's got the cart and the horse in the right order. Often people want to put their good works before being saved, you know, that's how you get saved. No, it isn't. You get saved and then you start working. Right? So we're not saved by works, but we are saved for works. God wants you to be doing, active. And we'll be looking at, Lord willing, on Sunday, James. We're going to start that one. James is all about the doing bit. Right? You're saved by grace through faith for works. Right? We are saved in order to act. Right? So, now we can live to please God and be a blessing as He enables us by His Holy Spirit. Of course, the work has to be by God's Spirit working in us and through us, of course. But that's what you've been created for. To be a servant of the wonderful God who saved us. And these works that you're meant to do, God prepared in advance for us to do. So these good works are part of God's agenda for our lives. We are to follow His plans and guidance to discover what He wants us to do. I don't think that's always easy, to be honest. But, you know, that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to do the good works that He's got lined up for you and for me. So how do you find out what He wants you to do? Well, I've put a few suggestions here. Pray about it and read the scriptures. They give us general guidance about how we're to live. Of course, and God's providence. He orders things in situations to where you are. So that's the fine points of the detail working out. And of course, the Spirit's leading. The Holy Spirit may prompt us to do things that we haven't thought of before. So God's got things for you and me to do. There's a work for Jesus, none but you can do. And it's for all of us, that is. So He already has a plan for our lives, and it's described as His good and perfect will. Well, so that's what it's all about. Let me just show you this verse. It's verse 10. Worth learning if you don't know it. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That is the Christian message. Yeah, it's salvation and action. That's what it's about. See, God doesn't just save you and then put you on a shelf like a little trophy, you know, to keep you there until the time when Jesus comes back. No, there's things for Him to do. We can serve Him and honor Him in our lives. Praise His name. So, summary for you. Saved by grace. Your salvation is a glorious thing that has its origin in God's love. This love is expressed as mercy that flows to and into us through the Lord Jesus Christ. It results in a transformed person, alive to God, capable of bringing blessings to God and to others, so that God gets all the glory due to His holy name. Amen. That's what it's about. So, all you've got to do is get on with the work now, eh? Lord, help and guide us, eh? Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, undeserving, hell-deserving sinners, Lord, that you've made us alive in Jesus, brought us back from death. And we bless you, Lord, you've given us an eternal hope. Lord, we thank you for the life you've imparted to us. Help us to remember that our destiny is the heavenly places with Christ. Lord, we pray that while we're here on this world, in this world, we may be a blessing to you and a help and a blessing to those around us. Lord, use us, guide us, may your Holy Spirit enable us to serve you with glad and thankful hearts all our days. Mm. We just commit ourselves into your good hands once again. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for saving us. Thank you for brothers and sisters. Thank you for your family. Thank you, Lord, that I'm privileged to be part of this as well, as each one of us is, Lord. What a blessing. We say thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. Lord, we pray, save some more. Lord, call out many more in these days in which we live. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.